Well, let's pray over this word this morning and ask God to continue to illuminate and reveal to us what he's doing and what he's saying. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity once again to gather in your name, in your presence, and to hear from you. Father, these are words that are containers of life that change us. And you have been doing that robustly, God. You are taking us from strength to strength, faith to faith, glory to glory, Lord, on a day-by-day basis, and we are ready to move with you. I ask you, Lord, this morning that you would take this word and that you would form it and that you would impart it into our hearts. I pray, God, that you would paint the picture on the inside of each and every one of us of what you're saying and where you are taking us. Once again, God, we give you permission to come and invade the privacy of our heart and to move us into position for what you're doing and what you have for our lives for this time that we are right now standing in. We thank you for it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. If you would turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, I'm going to read a few verses out of this portion of scripture and move us on from there. Isaiah 43, I'm going to read in the King James Version. Starting in verse 1, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you." And then if you would jump to verse 7, he continues on and says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled." This morning, as we gather to hear the word of the Lord, we gather in a time where we know that clearly God is speaking to us. He has not been lax in his work of revealing that he promised us he would do. He said, "I will lead you and guide you into truth on a daily basis." But he's doing that on the world stage. He's been revealing to us, this is what I'm saying. Even though this is what you see going on, this is what I am moving you into, and I am well able. I love that God has never held back on revealing to you and I his heart, his will, his desire, his plan. And in our current times, he continues to keep announcing what he is doing. We have heard this said that he is reforming or bringing reformation. Pastor Tim has spoken prophetically that we've come into the beginning of a new era of supernatural reforming, and that this is a powerful time marked by great movement and marked by the glory of God. We know that in God's announcing, he said that he is working in healing. He is manifesting his miracles. His kingdom mantles and anointings are being placed upon us. In conjunction with those prophetic words a few months ago, I shared a prophetic word that God spoke to me that worked in concert and harmony, that this was a threshold moment, a threshold year for the people of God, that this was a time when things would dramatically begin to change and to appear. It was the moment that pictures that metamorphosis of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. But as I look at the Word of God and I look at past times like the one we are living in right now, what I see is that God has a track record of doing something very peculiar right in the midst of major moments like this. In the midst of prophetic times, at the intersections of major movements of His, in the midst of transitions, in the heat of battles, at the crossroad places in our lives, God will ask man a question. Now, I find this interesting and I find it very peculiar for the obvious reason, because He's God. We're used to us asking God the questions, like, God, why? God, when? God, what now? But historically, I see that God uses these moments and He asks man a question. When the all-knowing one asks us a question, it is an indicator that things are about to massively shift. Yes. Yes. And so the first question that I see recorded in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 3. And it is that moment when God asked of Adam, "Where are you?" It was the time of day that Adam and God would usually spend together. It was that cool of the day moment, and the time had come, but Adam, he wasn't there. And so the all-knowing God, who knows everything probable at the same time He knows everything actual, this all-knowing God, who one of His names is Adonai Yireh, which is the God who sees. The God who sees what? Everything. That He would come and He would ask of His man, Adam, as if He didn't know, "Where are you?" In the Hebrew, this phrase that is a question is actually just one Hebrew word pronounced Ika. Where are you? But embedded in that one word question, "Where are you?" is also the question, "How are you?" It's as if God is saying, not only where are you, Adam, but what state are you in? You see, I believe that heaven's question of this right now, in this moment to us, is actually a display of something that is going on called heaven's roll call. That heaven is taking a roll call of the body of Christ that is alive on the earth right now. And it is reverberating on Holy Spirit airwaves to each one of us who call Him Lord. This is a roll call of all the destinies that are timed for this day. Because we are living at a time where God is supernaturally reforming, and because heaven is mounting its great campaign of dispersing world-reforming gifts, callings, and anointings, heaven has instituted a roll call to us as the body of Christ saying, "Where are you? And what state are you in?" What is a roll call? It is the process of calling out a list of names to establish who's showing up, who's present here. In our police forces, each day a roll call is used prior to the beginning of your particular shift for that particular day. And the roll call moment sets the tone for your shift, and it ensures that you have all the necessary equipment and information that you're going to need for the day that you're about to face. So the Lord is asking this question of you and I taking roll call: where are you and what state are you in? Why? Because this is the time. It's been prophetically said of picking up mantles and anointings. And so you can hear the heartbeat of God in the midst of this as he whispers this to us as saints, going, where are you and what state are you in? In other words, did you think you were done? Did you believe that the past season was all I had for you? Did you fall under the belief that your last assignment that I gave you meant that you were through? Why would you believe God wanted to use you in that time in your life, but maybe not necessarily right now? Why would we dispensationalize our own destinies and callings? I'm reminded of the cry, the prayer, war cry of Moses when at 80 years old, he said, give me my mountain. This was not a man that planned on sitting anything out. And so today God is asking the question in his roll call, where are you? He's calling his people to the table. And I would say that for some of us, he's calling his people out. He's calling you out of the sit back because of the setback. He's calling you out of the self-help, the self-righteousness, and the hiding out. When Adam hears God ask, he answers him honestly. And he says, look, after I did what I did, after I ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what's he saying? After I fed on my own surroundings, fear gripped me because I felt shame, and so I went into hiding. God is asking Adam the question, where are you? Not because he needs to be told what he already knows. God is never asking because he's in need of information. He's asking to wake Adam back up. He knows that he must jolt him out of the shutting down process that feeding on your own surroundings will do to you. Today, God is asking this paramount question to his bride, where are you? And what state are you in? And when we answer him in honesty, he breathes the words of Isaiah to us and he says, well, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is rising upon you. So stand now, daughter of God, stand now, man of God, in your anointed authenticity. For I am not through with you. God's calling us to pick up those mantles and anointings that Pastor Tim has spoken to. He's calling again for worshipers to find their place in the ranks, the kind of worshipers that when they worship, they break down walls. He's calling for warriors to stand in the ranks that take out giants with never seen before God-breathed ideas. God's opening things wide up for us to take our place in this roll call, to receive business strategies that turn the economies of cities. He's looking for believers that will once again stand in their place and believe for doors of opportunity granted unto them, that will access places of influence that could shift nations in a day. You see, the danger in our life lies in the space and time that we deem untouchable and unusable by God. If we do this, we are restricting his access and limiting his ability, and we suffocate the solutions that he is wanting to bring that will move mountains he has called us to move. Can you hear his heart in this morning? And so I believe this morning, this word that God's given me has come with an anointing in the room to shake you loose from the pass me by view of your life. There's an anointing present to remove every last vestige of the fear and the shame that came from your past season, your past disappointment, and free you to receive your new vision. This anointing is here to free you to answer the roll call, answer the question of God, where are you and what state are you in? And give you the boldness to pick up the infamous words of, here am I, God, send me. I believe the second question that God's asking in heaven's roll call this morning is the same one that he posed to Jacob in Genesis when he asked him, what is your name? It was not just a peculiar thing for God to do, but he asked it at a very peculiar time. The question came to Jacob after he had just finished wrestling with God all night long. Isn't that an interesting thing to do with God? He's not in an argument with God. He's not debating God. He's not swapping opinions. There's no weapons involved. He's in a wrestling match. Wrestling is unique because wrestling is a struggle of strength, but it is also a struggle of wits. It is as much mental as it is physical. And so really Jacob is wrestling God because Jacob is wrestling with himself. Jacob has been living for more time than he can count in a state of internal conflict. He who has a spiritual identity has been trying to solve the question of himself through mental solutions, and it has not been working. Of course he can't do it. He cannot resolve it on his own, nor can he conceive it on his own, and it's actually reached a point where he cannot even quiet down the internal conflicted state he is living in. And so after wrestling with God all night, as dawn begins to break, God asks this man a question, what is your name? And once again, God is not asking because he wants to gain information. No, he's asking because he wants to give revelation. What is your name? One translation says, tell me what is your name to you now. What is your name today? Disclose to me who you see yourself to be. And so Jacob answers him with the only thing that is real to him. My name is Jacob. He says, I am a deceiver. I cheat. I'm a cheater. I trick people out of things in order to get ahead. It's really the only way for me to win, because really the root of his internal conflict is because I don't believe I'm enough. And in this moment, God gains access to transform Jacob by calling him out of who he believed he was and into his current identity. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 28, God answers him and says, your name shall no more be Jacob, but you will be called Israel, for you are a prince. And as a prince, you have power with God and with man, and you prevail. He names this man Prince of God, one who as a prince prevails with God. In essence, he is saying to him, as a prince of God, you are powerful with me and you are powerful with men. And now you will prevail because of who I have made you to be. In other words, Jacob, this is why you will be victorious, because your conflict is now settled. Your internal conflicted state has been conquered. And now I will move you into the position that I have for you today. You see, God uses questions at access points like this to bring movement to the body of Christ and to bring transformation. Even in our United States military, roll call is used. In fact, just in the last decade, our United States Air Force, one of the top commanders, reinstated the use of roll call. Because in military roll call, the announcement is given not just of the individual's name, but their rank, their position, what they do. And at the end of the reading of the list, if none are absent, he reports, now all are present or accounted for. See, why is God asking, what is your name right now? I believe it's because in heaven's roll call, there is a massive identity migration taking place. Giftings, callings, anointings, they're advancing. Heaven's roll call is God's kingdom progressing and moving forward in might and in strength. It is his process of taking you from glory to glory. In the prophetic word that Pastor Tim gave a couple of weeks ago, he shared how God is equipping and ramping up Christ's body in the earth. That God's anointings through the ages are being passed down to us for this era, even with double portions. And so you can see the purpose for heaven's roll call and God asking you afresh, let me ask you today, what is your name? Why? Because he's wanting to reveal to you the next phase of who you are called to be and what you are called to do. God is looking for people right now that will name themselves the name God calls them. And that they are able to do so not because they asked 20 years ago. They're able to name themselves the name not because the roles in their life are giving them their name, not because their economic status is giving them their name, not because their race is giving them their name or their culture, not because their age or their place in life is giving them their name, but because they are freshly answering the roll call and inquiring of the Lord, who do you say my name is? Here I am, God, send me, I'm present. Who do you send me as? What is my name? Heaven's roll call is inquiring of us to inquire of him. To say, God, what are you moving me into? What gifts, callings, mantles, and portions of my destiny? What place in this are you now addressing is mine to stand in? God is looking for a people that will name themselves the name he calls them. And as Pastor Tim says, to take that and strike the earth with it. To stand in the power of what God calls you today. And he is notorious for doing this. God did this with Abraham. When he changed his name and he revealed to him, now your name is father of multitudes. With Sarah, he gave her a new name, marking a new season in her life. Joseph was given a new name when God placed him in Egypt, giving him brand new governmental and political influence. Hosea becomes Joshua after he says yes to his first task of leading the spies in to scope out the promised land. What assignments does God have for you and I? Jesus gives Simon a new name, marking a new phase of his ministry. He names him Peter the Rock because the new name gives him the assurance that it is now time to step into his next phase of continuing with Jesus' ministry in the earth. God gives roll call to us this morning, and he's asking you, what is your name? Do you know it? And would you inquire of me? I believe that in God's roll call, he's also asking us this question. And it's a question that he asked through his son, Jesus, to Peter on that infamous day. And he's asking it again today. Who do you say that I am? Some Hebrew Greek scholars believe that a more literal definition of what he asked was, who am I to you? And I just want to take some time to point out something about this particular question. That Jesus is not asking that of the lost. He's not asking it of those that don't know him. He is asking this of his inner circle. He's asking it of his disciples. He was asking the remnant of that day, who am I to you? We could say he asked it of the conference attenders, the book buyers, the podcast listeners, the prayers, the intercessors. He's asking it of the preachers, the third generation church attenders. He's asking it of the faithful. Who am I to you? And it is because in this moment of such movement in the earth, when heaven is taking a roll call to say, are you present? What state are you in? Do you know who you are in this day, in this time, in your life, in my plan that I have called you to? He also finds it imperative to ask, but before I dismiss this roll call, I must also ask you, who am I to you today? Am I the one who still sees you? Am I the lifter of your head? Am I the one that is ever pleased with you? Am I your go-to? When you've been feeding on your surroundings in fear and guilt and shame and disappointment, tries to tell you to sit this one out, do you run to me or do you hide from me? Am I your identity giver? Am I the lamb that took the penalty of all your sins? Am I your answer? For what's facing you today, am I your answer? Am I your wisdom? Am I your defender? Because he's saying, if I am, then here I come. Jesus paints this picture of this great exchange moment in Revelations chapter 3 in verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will dine with him. I will sup with him and he with me. The symbolism of Jesus not just coming in but saying I'll dine with him is because to dine was a sign of reconciliation. It's a sign of getting things back in alignment, getting things in place, getting things in order, getting you and him simpatica. He's reconciling his church back to their true identity and who he is calling them to be today. He's calling you out of past seasons. He's saying, don't wait for me to reinstate just the old. Let me walk you into the new. There's a reconciling going on. There's a great exchange of your questions that got you stuck in the why. And he's reconciling and he's saying, lay your questions down and answer mine. When he says, I will sup with you, and the verse goes on to say, and you with me, is very specific. He's not just being redundant here. He is saying, where I am welcome as a guest, I assume the place of host. When we say, here I am, God, send me. Here is my yes. Here is my best. In the state I'm in, he comes in and he furnishes the meal. He comes in invited, yet he provides the banquet. And says, now that you have answered my questions, let me get about equipping you. Let me take care of what you have need of. Let me inform you of your identity for today. You think you know what it looks like, you don't. You're still stuck in questions of the last time. Let it go. I have something fresh for you now. And he begins to equip us with mantles, with callings, with anointings, with influence. Let me equip you with the wisdom you're going to need to be who I'm calling you to be for today. I believe that he's asking us this question today because he is set that this time, this movement, this migration, this supernatural reforming will not be interrupted and shut down. He asked the question, who do you say that I am? So that this time, when we start moving in who we are, we don't get eclipsed with our own callings and giftings and anointings. That his move doesn't become about us. This time, he's saying, who do you say that I am? Before I dismiss this roll call, eyes on me, church. Eyes on me. Why? Because if you will stay eclipsed with who I am, this thing will come to fullness. It won't shift to man's version. In other words, celebrity culture won't take over what I'm doing. It will continue to be about my son. This time when I begin to move you, you won't get caught up with the praise, so you won't get caught up with the critics. Why? Because your eyes are on me. This time when my power goes on grand display in ways you've never seen, in double portion outflowings, you won't begin to gather and celebrate my gifts. You'll still come and worship the Lamb of God that was slain. That all of it will continue to be because of who he is and our grand, glorious place. Is always an honor and worship of him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. As I hear the Spirit of God saying these same questions to you and I again, who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? I want to invite you to join me in prayer this morning. Because the sense that I have in my spirit is that heaven always instigates things with great purpose, and that this roll call for you and I is significant this morning. Could you hear the Spirit of God asking you this question? Where are you? Or what state are you in? Maybe not outwardly, but inwardly, had you resigned yourself to just be present? The problem is that in heaven's roll call, there is no spectator rank. He only gives functioning assignments. He calls each one of us to our place, and he says, call yourself who I call you to be, so that you can go out and begin to do the same thing. Where are you and what state are you in? Maybe this morning is a moment that you need to answer him. I say, God, I'm showing up for the job at hand. I'm not sitting this one out. Every day of my life is a day that you redeemed. And so here I am. Have my life, take my life. Will it cost you something? Absolutely, it always does. In heaven's roll call this morning, he's asking of you and I, what is your name? I believe this is a requirement of the body of Christ living in this time to inquire of the Lord, who am I? What are you calling me to be today? What is my name now? What phase, place, and season of my destiny are you wanting me to step into and take hold of? And so this morning we lay down past identities, past roles, and we say, God, would you reveal to us in heaven's roll call who you say that we are? God, we thank you for the great movement and migration happening in the body of Christ. As we stand up in our place to pick up callings, anointings, and mantles timed for now. We are not of those that draw back. God, we refuse to let fear and shame count us out. We take our place not because of who we are, but because of who you say that we are. Father, this morning we hear you asking the question once again to your bride, who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Oh, Father, we say once again that you are the Lamb of God. You are Alpha and Omega. You are the one that makes all things new. You are the one that holds the world in the palm of your hands. God, we say that all of this is for you. Lord, we declare this morning that you don't just give resurrection life, you are resurrection life. You don't just bring healing, you are healing. You don't just do miracles, Father, you are the miraculous. And we thank you, God, that you're bringing redemption, restoration, and reformation in real time, in our time, and you're using us to do it. We declare, Father, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this morning, Father, we answer roll call to take our place in fresh assignments, that we would stand, Father, as your body, as your bride, and once again say, not my will, but yours be done. We would stand in real time and say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. And by the way, in me, in this right now season of my life. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I can bet that it's going to bring change. I can bet that it's going to bring transition, and that it's going to bring transformation. But I remind you once again that this is the purpose for which you were sent. And at the end of our life, when we stand before Him with the blood of Jesus that was shed, speaking for us at the throne room of heaven, that we want to stand there with arms open wide and a heart full, saying, Father, I didn't count myself out, but I picked up those things that you were releasing in the earth. I took hold. I inquired of you and I walked into them. Father, we pray that as you're doing this in our lives, that you would do this work in the body of Christ. That you would move your apostles, your prophets, your pastors, your teachers, your evangelists into new places, into new mantles, into new callings. Father, that there would be a great progression and promotion among the ranks of your sons and daughters, your kings. Father, that there would be a great uptick in the moving and the work of your Spirit, and that your glory would be seen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's just worship Him this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What awesome questions today. Throughout 45 years or so of ministry, going back through those years, my role has changed. And I couldn't help but, as she was talking, remember that the changing of those roles always came with God asking me questions. Every time, and of course, as she said it, He's not asking a question because He doesn't know. He's asking a question because He's asking you to give an answer. And those times were times when, would I go forward into a new role and be defined by God? Or would I let life define me? Would, as she started this morning, passing through waters, fires, would that define me? And I would just say this on all of those questions, and I would say this to you today. They were not questions that I could answer very quickly. And so, while you have been brought to that point today, I would encourage you to let that question set a while and think. Some of those questions took me months. Because before I would say, God, you define me. You define my role. You have the right to do that. You had the right to define the role of this church. Your role is different. Will you embrace it? Hundreds didn't, but hundreds did. And now hundreds of thousands are affected. Questions matter. These questions matter. Where are you? Who is He to you? Well, I could talk a long time about that, but I'm going to break every rule in the book if I do. Great questions. Challenged me, because if the church was ever being challenged just in a culture of what is your role? What is the role of the church now? What is your role now? Awesome, awesome. Lord, we just say yes to whatever your definition is. Whatever your definition is. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to challenge us and ask us questions. Thank you for that, Lord. And we just say corporately or individually, our role matters to you, and we say yes to whatever that is. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What a great word today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, next week is Palm Sunday. Get your communion ready wherever you may be. Remember that. And I'll talk to you next week and we'll have communion together. And so bless you. Have a great rest of your day.